Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to end the program this week just talking about chapter 21, the book of Revelation. Church has been looking at different passages in the liturgy throughout this season as we're moving toward the end of the church year, and now the beginning of Advent is right around the corner for us. It's such a blessing to be able to make our way through the year, walking as a body, as believers, as disciples of Jesus, those who are marked by Him, those who had followed the Lamb, like the book of Revelation mentioned this week, you know, those who are followers of the Lamb, who are with Him in heaven now in glory. We pray, God, that we will one day end up right there as well, by the grace of God. But chapter 21 gives us a picture of the new heaven and the new earth, where human history is headed. I talked earlier this week that human history is headed toward a marriage. We're going to hear some of that very reality expressed here in this whole section, that really the ultimate goal of history is a marriage. That is, those creating the image and likeness of God, who from really the origin of God's plan in His heart for us, is that we were made the way we're made, in the image and likeness of God, so that we could live in fellowship with God, that we could be a part of the communion between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that the miracle of that relationship of full union with God and absolute freedom, being consumed in the love of God, being empowered by the Spirit and the life, this is what God destined for all time, and it gets expressed here in chapter 21 so beautifully. This is the vision of John. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." So there's a new creation coming. The fallen world is going to pass away, and God's bringing about a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Here's that marriage imagery, that intimacy. And this is why, friends, this is why, you know, marriage is being attacked today in the world, why it's being deconstructed, why even movements of liberation, something like the Black Lives Matter, why do they have as a fundamental mission statement that they want to basically deconstruct the nuclear family? Whether they know it or not, that's a dark strategy. It comes from the enemy. The family is established by God. It's the icon of God. It's an image of what's to come, a marriage, an intimate, total self-giving union, which is expressed, meant to be expressed in the natural order, in God's plan for marriage, and to bring about life, a life-giving love, a life-giving communion, as two people lay down their lives, as they become one flesh together, as life comes forth and they build a family of others who share in the image and likeness of God. It's the fundamental thing God's established on the earth, and forces here and abroad all over the world are set against its reality. So what we see is God's ultimate plan here. "And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" What an extraordinary image. Again, what no eye has seen, what St. Paul said, right? Behold, the dwelling of God. What is heaven? What's the new heaven and the new earth? It's God. It's dwelling with God. It's living in the almost unimaginable reality of the triune God and being brought into the intimate freedom, His overwhelming power, His love, His life that just flows. And friends, it flows to us because of Jesus. It flows to us because of His death and resurrection, His incarnation, His life. And now He's brought humanity, He's made it possible for human flesh to be in the presence of the Holy God, to be glorified in a resurrected body, in a resurrected reality. Jesus has made that happen, and that's what he's pouring into us. That's what it's all about, and that's what he's after. He's after doing in this world everything, dealing with everything that stands in the way of having this happen in our life. Well, even when his judgments come, they're good, because his judgments come to remove everything that hinders God's love and stands in the way of it. That's what the passages from the book of Revelation, the church has been giving us, and the daily readings have been communicating essentially that very thing this whole week. And it's important for us not to miss it. Our destiny is to dwell with God. And the bridegroom image, the bridal image, the bridal identity of the church, this is really important to see and to grasp and to talk about and to share and to walk in and to accept that this is our this is the intimacy God desires with us. And in heaven, he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. It's like a father who, you know, wipes, I have grandkids now, you know, it reminds me when my kids were young and they'd stumble and fall and, you know, scrape their knee or do whatever and get hurt or their feelings hurt or something. And I'd hold them in my arms and wipe the tears away. And somehow it would, you know, bring peace and it would help them. And just to love them and to embrace them, to protect them, and they felt safe, right? And they felt loved. And this is just an image. It's just a simple image of something so much greater. All the deep pain, friends, that we have, all the hurts, everything will go away. And he'll wipe our tears and he'll heal us. His touch, his voice, his embrace of us will bring complete and absolute healing to our souls, to our bodies, and everything will be made new. And there'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more death, nothing. Verse 5, he goes on to say, and he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. What's trustworthy and true? Number one, first, that he makes all things new. The problem with the world, friends, is it has to be made new. The world can't be fixed on human power. We're not going to fix it all and then present it to God. Despite what all the powerful people and the, you know, those who are after using everything they got to sort of make the world in their image, the utopian ideas and the utopian ideologies that are there, they don't believe in original sin. They don't believe in the spiritual battle. They believe in themselves and they're going to fix everything. Well, that's human pride, actually. It may sound nice and noble, but it's fundamentally human pride. They don't want to ask God what it ought to look like. They want to make it and form it in their own image. That is their ideas about what it ought to be. It will never be fixed. It will never be new. It will never give life. And what the Lord is saying is, behold, I make all things new. That's his invitation. Not the lies of the enemy we've been talking about this week. It's not slavery. It's not, you know, eternal servitude and the enslaving kind of, we're talking about a marriage. We're talking about total transformation. Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without price from the fountain of the water of life. Those who are thirsty for God, what you're going to get is God. It's the Holy Spirit just poured into us, absolutely lifting us, cleansing us, filling us, freeing us. He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is what God's after, family. He wants to form a family. Blessed be God. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's eternal separation from God, friends. It's dying. It's what happens when we die in sin. And God is right here in the midst of this great celebration. God is reminding us the destiny of those who refuse the offer of salvation. For those who refuse to bend the knee and to repent of their sins and turn their hearts to God and receive the Lordship of Jesus, to walk in the Son, to receive the gift of the Son, who wants to, in the waters of baptism, apply the cross to our lives to put to death sin in us, to give us new life in the Holy Spirit, to draw us into the family, to become children of God. to forgive our sins. That's what it's about. The marriage really actually begins now, friends, in our total yes to Jesus. This is what the saints saw. They're going after the full communion, what they can get on earth, the full communion that's possible. They were the most free. They're the most joyful, no matter what circumstances they're in. Why? Because they've left the world. That is the wrong kind of attachment to a fallen world. And they're not whoring after the world. They're not violating, you know, the invitation of Jesus, which is total intimacy and surrender to Him and union with Him. It's the scripture uses the term of adultery, right? When we turn away from loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and putting it first and putting God's plan and purpose first in our lives. So he reminds us of the great destiny we're headed for, but also the destiny for those who refuse it. There's no third way. There's no neutral place. There's no, hey, I don't really want that. I'd rather just kind of hang out for eternity in something I'd like to create, you know, something more in my image. It's either heaven or eternal separation from God, which is horrible, which is what's described here. And he goes on to say in verse 9, then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. He spoke and he said, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down from heaven, having the glory of God, its radiance like the rare jewel, like a jasper, crystal, clear as crystal. And he goes on to describe its gates and its beauty and using different kinds of imagery. I'm going to jump up to verse 22 just because of the time that's left. He goes on to say, and I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. Is that what you want, friends? Is that the longing of your heart? This destiny. God isn't just creating a temple and a building. There was a temple built in Jerusalem, right? There was an image and a model and a picture for us and a place for them to encounter God. But in the coming of Jesus and the incarnation, heaven came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and He began to open heaven for us. And now we, because of His life, passion, death, resurrection, His ascension into glory and the sending of the Holy Spirit, we now are temples of the living God. And this reality that he's talking about, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And its gates shall never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there. They shall bring into glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean shall enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. We're called, friends, to an astounding destiny, a gift beyond our wildest imagination. That's what's at stake in this world. Is it something Jesus asks us now? Is it something you want? If you want it, come, follow me with your whole life, and I'll bring you into it. If we don't make that decision, friends, we'll die separated from it. It's for you. Say yes today. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.